Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all here again. Thank you for some good piano playing. I'll tell you, church music is hard to play. You know, the second to the last song was pretty tough. You know, I was having to dig deep, you know, to get the right notes out. And I was actually kind of impressed, you know, having a young man leading the Lord's Supper. That's wonderful. I felt like with a yarmulke, he could probably, you know, pass for, no, anyway. So I'm thankful to see some young people also involved. And I'm glad to see some new faces. Looks like a family has a whole back row here that I don't know. Amen for a whole back row of a whole new family of some sort. I am clearly not the pastor, but I am a missionary that's been involved with this church for many, many years. We go back a long way. Even my children now have been coming back. You all met my son-in-law, Ben, and my daughter, Sophie. The first time I was here, Sophie wasn't even born yet. So we've been connected with this church for a very long time. And of course, now through Source of Light, you're connected with us in so many different ways. And so this church is very, very special to us. As I see some familiar faces, but it's good to see some new faces. So if you don't know me, it's okay. But I'll be back, I promise. And I don't get the chance to talk today. Because I have brought with us a special guest from Source of Light. He is our director for Uganda. And he's in the States for 2 months. He's on his last 2 weeks. And so we're very thankful that it worked in your schedule for him to be down here because you have been partnering with him. And it's very important to him that he gets to meet the people that pray for him. We never take that lightly. One of our core values at Source of Light is prayer. And we just simply know that we're not enough. We're not enough as a mission organization, if it weren't for the faithful and fervent prayer of little churches all around the world like you all. And so we're so thankful for you. It is good for me to be back here, but I don't want to take any more of James Biakika's time. He's going to come share from the Word. Maybe he'll say a couple of things, about his ministry there in Uganda. So James, come on up.
Once again, I'm privileged to be here. James Biakika, my name's. I'm a missionary and the director of Source of Light Uganda. When you read the Bible, you find out that every generation, God used to call different people for different purposes. I'll give an example of Noah. The world had gone crazy. He was called during that time to rescue the people. Unfortunately, the people didn't listen. Every generation, as you read the Bible, you find God calling different people purposely for a different reason. God has called me in the Source of Light ministry for over 10 years, and the purpose is to make sure I prepare my brothers and sisters that one day, one time, we shall go to heaven and praise him now and forever. I'm privileged to see that you are part of me. You have been praying for me for all these years, and you have been supporting me. I say we praise God for that. Like still the Bible says, in the house, there are very many different things, but they are all important. The wooden and the metallic one, They are all important at their own time. I want to read from 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning from verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning from verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelations. And it came to pass that at that time, while Eli was lying down in his palace, and when his eyes had begun to grow to dim, that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord was the word of the Lord he revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again and said a third time. So he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, "Samuel, Samuel," and Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." During this time, Eli was a priest who was working at the altar, who was working in the church. He had served God many, many years. But when you analyze this story, or this scripture, you find out that he had sons, but the sons could not do what God wanted them to do. With us in Uganda, when I'm a son, especially the firstborn, and my father dies, it's me who becomes the heir. I inherit everything. Which we knew that during that time, one of these sons would be the heirs. But God didn't allow them to be heirs because what they were doing didn't please God. Samuel comes to work as, I would say, maybe a houseboy or whatever. It is whom God blesses and calls him. How does this apply to us today? Many people around the world, God has called them, but they have not responded. They have not listened. They have not known that that one is God's voice. I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, you and me, God knows us by name. God knows what you are thinking. God knows what you hope to do, yet you don't know. The priest also didn't know that it was God calling Samuel. After the third time, is when he realizes that there should be a voice calling from somewhere. Most of the time, God calls us in different ways. Number one, let's learn to hear and listen from the voice of God. And when he calls us, let's respond and do it immediately. God has a purpose for some of us. I'm sorry to mention this. What happened when I was here? The storm and or whatever. It doesn't happen in Uganda. What happens is the floods. I was telling my brother that it can't even take over all those 500 miles. Maybe 3 or 4 miles. So God has a purpose to show that he has power over the universe. If we are still breathing today, if our homes were not destroyed or anything, we should not say we are so good, but it was God's grace. Why can't we praise God? Why can't we worship him? Why can't we work for him? I always challenge people in Uganda. The biggest loan we have, or debt in our lives, is the breath we have every second. How shall we pay God with that breath we have every second? We cannot even pay him. One day a mother was challenging a daughter. When the daughter had gone to school, became a bit rich, she went to the mother and says, "Mother, I want to pay off all the money you paid for me when I was going to school." The mother said, "Okay, before you calculate the money, first of all, calculate the time I was staying with you in the hospital, day and night, that I didn't sleep. First of all, pay for that sleep before you calculate the money." There's no way. The only thing we can do is to listen to the voice of the Lord and do what the Lord wants us to do. I always tell the people that my prayer request in life is not having long life, it's not having riches, but I pray that I continue working for him until my time comes to go back to him. Because even if I got millions and millions and dollars, they will not save my life. I want to encourage you. How can you help? Do God's ministry. You may not be a preacher. But when you look, we'll go to in the book, the Gospel of Luke, you find that there were a man who was attacked by the thieves. But remember, people bypassed this man. Even the pastors, the church leaders came and bypassed him. There was only one man who went, nursed this man, took him to the hospital, and even paid the bills. And even said, if that money is finished, as I return back, I will pay whatever you have used. And then Jesus asks them and said, amongst the three, who was the nearest neighbor? The one who helped this person who was in need was the nearest neighbor. How are you helping the neighbors? When we go in English, a neighbor is just an immediate person here. When we go in the dictionary and whatever. But then, in the context of the Bible, a neighbor is someone who is all in the world. Today, God is calling very many people in Africa, in Uganda. They have not yet listened. Pray with me that when I go and tell them Jesus Christ is calling you, they shall say, yes, here I am, use me. Amen? Our God is able. He will never abandon us. And when he says yes, no man can say no. When he opens the door, no one can lock it. But he cannot open your door unless when you have heard him calling and you say, here I am. Most of the time, I get a problem with the Bible readers. Bible tells you to pray. You don't pray. Someone walks from here, from home to here, but he has not prayed because he's coming to church to do what? To pray. But I always challenge them. If you got an accident on the way, in Uganda there are very many, by the way, and you died, do you hope to go to heaven? Because you never prayed. In Uganda we have thieves at night by guns, by the way. God has protected you the whole night. You can't even say thank you, God. There are even very many rich people in Uganda. With us, we have notes and coins. In Uganda, people can give you coins of 500, 1,000, but a note of 10,000, it can't get out of the pocket. It is his. Remember, it was God's grace that you are what you are. With me, I praise God and I thank him because he made me what to be. I began as a Sunday school teacher, as young as I was. I could just move on foot over 8 miles going and 8 miles coming back. It was raining, but I'm going. Not paid. No lunch, no breakfast. But I went and began working. I began with working with the former director of Source of Light. I could grade the paper, the lessons from morning until evening. I walk back to my home 4 miles. No transport. Could buy me lunch, corn and beans. But every day I'm in the office. To make things worse, he brings in a worker. He begins to pay that worker, and I remain a volunteer. Yet I work even more than the worker. Ran, that's why I want to tell you that to me it was not coming in Source of Light, but was a calling. And I want to promise God that I want to remain in that calling until when I go back to him. I feel sick if I don't go and tell someone about Christ. This time my brother gave me flights everywhere. And I've been sitting in the middle. I want to tell you that I've been talking to these people whom I sit in the middle. Being a black person. Is that okay? I sit between them. I introduce myself. And quickly they ask me, what do you do? I'm a missionary. I proclaim about Christ. We begin the conversation. At least two have taken my email address. And they have begun writing to me. So my coming to the States, God brought me to speak to those two whom I spoke to in the other plane, and the other one, and then the other one. My words will not remain the same. They will remain hurting that person if he is not saved until when he gets saved. I want to encourage you that the work you are doing in this church, supporting missionaries like us, is a great work. I told you in the morning that 57,000 souls got saved. You are part of them. And God bless you so much. We shall continue to pray for each other. But to me, I pray that may the Almighty God continue blessing you in all what you do. Thank you.